Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spilbor, it's Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry, and we have returned with yet another phenomenal show that I'm sure you will say to yourselves at the end, Frankenberry, why'd you lie to us? But we are back.
No. They're going to say a phenomenal was an understatement.
Oh, is that what they're going to say? All right.
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'll keep that in mind when the reviews come in.
Happy Easter.
That is today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get yelled at by my family, I'm sure.
Why?
Because I'm forgetting that it's Easter until now.
Oh.
Well, do you do anything? Do you have a dinner? Does somebody in your family cook, Frankenberry? Like, what do you do normally?
We have in the past, but nobody called me during the week to tell me that there was anything going on, and I didn't think about it because Easter's not really all that big for me. I mean, there's been dinners in the past, like I said, family's gotten together, but no, I guess not today.
No, you know what it is? Part of it is, I think, I mean, it's, whether you're religious or not religious, obviously, if you are religious, Easter's a wonderful thing to celebrate. I just happen to not be partial to Sunday holidays. I don't like Sundays. Like when you've got to like hit the ground running on Monday, which is every Monday, when, Sunday is not a day to have fun. Like you got to kind of mentally gear up for the next day. And that ruins the holiday, the Sunday holiday.
I'm with you.
You know what? To me, though, the best part about Easter are the Reese's eggs.
Oh, now they taste totally different than the Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm just saying.
Yeah. The ratio is perfection between chocolate to peanut butter.
Okay. Yes, yes, they do. They do. They do taste totally different. Something about them Easter ones. I don't know what it is.
It's true, Frankenberry.
It's that secret Easter recipe that they keep under lock and key.
Oh, there's just a ton of peanut butter. It's the right ratio. And the trees come second. Eggs, number one.
Trees? Oh, they have the Christmas
trees. Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yes, and yet another completely separate recipe that's under lock and key.
Well, duh. Of course. Speaking of Easter, I have been dying to talk to you guys about something that has absolutely nothing to do with Easter. Except
which of course would lead you to say, speaking of Easter. So yes, please continue.
Right. Except that it does have to do with children. And I am just, I don't know. Okay. I'm going to guess that you guys are not aware of this TV show yet. So let me just describe it for you. And maybe you are aware. So, lately, especially I've been trying to find entertaining things on television, staying away from the news, taking a page out of, Carol's bubble world, and really just trying to do things in my downtime that are mindless, which for me is very relaxing. Okay. Okay. So I happen upon a show on Netflix, and tell me if you guys have found this. I believe it's called Old Enough. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
I have not.
Okay. Well, let me tell you the premise of this show. It's a reality show. It is based in Japan, and the subjects of the reality are tiny, tiny Japanese children. When I say children, I mean between the ages of about 2 and 4. And the premise of the show is the producers take these tiny children, either 2 at a time or 1 at a time, and they give them an adult task to perform. And then they follow them around with cameras while they perform this adult task, and they superimpose their thoughts and commentary over while we watch the children do what they do. Now, you're probably sitting there saying to yourself, wake me when it's over. That sounds ridiculous. And it is.
No, it sounds intriguing to me.
Here's the twist. These kids, now it's kind of a cute show because the kids are adorable. But what they make them do is, like, for example, One of the episodes is, you know, young little Yuki needs to leave his mother's house, walk a mile and a half to the grocery store and shop for all the things on his mother's grocery list, then come back and deliver them to the mother. Okay. Now, in order for little Yuki to get from his little village house to the grocery store a mile and a half away, he needs to traverse a major thoroughfare with cars. And they film little Yuki or whatever his name is walking on this highway to the store. And so you're at the you're on the edge of your seat, like, this child is going to get run over. But, you know, the camera's kind of like, you'll catch him every once in a while, like running on the side of the kid to make sure the traffic stops and, you know, running in front of him. And then, you know, he'll finally get to the grocery store and the kid's exhausted. And the voiceover, which is all in subtitles because it's all in Japanese, will be like, oh, Yuki's exhausted. He's going to take a little nap in aisle 9. And then, you know, Yuki like puts down the basket and he takes a little nap in aisle 9. And then he gets back up. And it's like,
oh my gosh,
Yuki, you forgot the soy sauce when he's halfway home. So now he, you know, he traverses a mile and a half to the grocery store, a mile home, forgot something and goes back to the grocery store. Like, it's insane. It is absolutely insane. And it's a real show. So I was Googling it because I'm like, how can this be okay? You know,
right.
with people. And sure enough, and it's on Netflix, it's coming under a little controversy because, you know, whatever, child psychiatrists or and people in the industry.
Child protective services are going, really, guys, on camera?
What the heck is but this show apparently has been going on in Japan for years and years and years. And this is, it's just recently making its way to the United States. And I've been watching it feeling like simultaneously guilty because it's like watching a train. I can't look away. And at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to support this because I don't think I like it in terms of what they're doing.
But you can't not look. Kids.
Yes. Like the other night, just the other night, I watched an episode and it was two little, they couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 years old, a little boy and a little girl. And the whole episode was based on, they had to, and I kid you not, there's some very long staircase somewhere in Japan. It's like 1,000 steps. And I guess, you know, in ancient times, only royalty were allowed to walk up these steps, but there's like 1,000 of them. Like way longer than the steps in Philadelphia that Rocky made his way up. There's like 1,000 steps. And this little boy and this little girl were tasked with getting all the way up these steps to the top. And once they got to the top, there's some shops or whatever up there. They had to buy something and then go all the way back down. So the commentator in Japanese is, you know, talking about this little boy basically falls in love with the little girl that he's got to walk up these steps with. She doesn't want to have anything to do with them, which was sort of a little side note to the fact that these 2-3-year-olds had to walk up 1,000. Now imagine if we had to walk up the Empire State Building, wow. Right? On our best day, that would be hard, wouldn't it?
No, I'm thinking more it would be impossible.
Impossible, not hard.
You know, and they don't film them like stopping along the way for a snack. Like they actually film these kids are like out of breath. They got to take their time. The little boy finds a little side route, which is a little different and it makes it a little easier for him. Like, it's crazy. And then they go and they make it to the top and there's a store that's supposed to be open and then the store is not open. So they lay back down again and then the store opens and they go inside and it, you know, it's just this oddest thing, but people are watching it and it's called Old Enough, meaning I guess like the kids are old enough to run these adult
is it
errands
Bonnie?
Without dying.
Is it, does it get boring? Is it comical? Is it like on edge of your seat? Like, I can't believe they're putting this child in this situation.
It's hilarious all on that. The one hand, because the commentary is actually funny. What bothers me about the show is you can laugh at it and the kids are adorable. But when you think about what they're actually doing, and apparently they are actually doing it. It's not like, it's like if America's Funniest Home Videos and a child version of Jackass had a baby. Like, it's like that.
Oh, what a great description.
It's like that, and it is scary and weird. And so if you're on Netflix and you happen to run across, just watch one episode, because again, I don't think I want to support this endeavor, but I'm not going to stop it, obviously, since it's, I can't, but just check it out and maybe we can chat about it on another show.
What are you giving me, homework?
That's first, right? Yes, you have homework. But it all goes. I mean, do you guys have shows, maybe even more now than ever before, that you just like to put on to totally forget about all else? Like, I'm finding that's a necessity in my life lately.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got scripted shows. I mean, nothing, no reality shows, but yeah, I've got scripted shows that are definitely my, my wind down time. Yeah.
The escape. But even some of my scripted shows that I like I've been rewatching Better Call Saul, because the new season's going to start. And sometimes you got to pay attention to what's going on. This show, you don't really have to pay attention. Like, it's one of those, like, I mean, really mindless, you know, like a Housewives show or just mindless.
I've never seen it. I have a question. When do you watch TV? Yes.
Great question. usually between 1:30 a.m. and 5 a.m. when I can't sleep and I'm done shopping. Yeah. that's when. And then along those lines, if I had to sleep and I didn't have power to my house, like sleeping without noise on, or I should say lying awake without noise on, is impossible for me. I have to have noise.
And what, the TV or what do you put on? I use an app that like does white noise on my phone.
Oh, no. I need noise and I need ambient light. I need all that kind
ambient
of stimulation.
Ambient light?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jonna, and you wonder why you're not sleeping?
I was just going to say, have you figured out yet, Jonna, why it is that you have difficulty sleeping? I don't know.
And you have a $1,200 electric bill.
Yeah, that's not because of my TV. Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is, but if you put me in a dark room, like most people probably enjoy a dark, noiseless room when they're trying to sleep. I have to have just the opposite.
And you sound like some of my exes. Thus, the reason they're probably some of my exes.
Oh, because they're horrible people.
No, because they couldn't go to sleep without the TV on. I can't sleep with the TV on. What are you kidding me? That's silliness.
And that is a relationship problem. It really is. That's probably why a lot of modern day couples, believe it or not, do sleep in separate rooms. And still like each other. Like, it's not because, oh, you know, we're getting divorced or sleep. I mean, that's one reason. But some happy couples choose to sleep in separate rooms. I happen to know a couple that does that. And they do it because one of them snores. And this is the only way to, like, you know, stay happy. So that happened.
Okay. So they were able to find a way to get around it and they worked it out. Good for them.
Yeah. Well, maybe had you done that, you wouldn't have so many exes living in Texas.
And maybe the places I live didn't have an extra bedroom and all I would get stuck with is the couch.
All right. I'm really loving this conversation, but Jonna mentioned something about a nightmare before we went on air. And I don't want to like continue too much longer without making sure we talk about that.
Oh, that's right.
Nightmare gets aired.
Yeah. Jonna, you said something about the fact that you were down at your apartment in New York City and quote unquote, the nightmare continues.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Look, you know, sometimes I hesitate because my nightmares are typically first world nightmares. And, you know, and sometimes when other things are going on in the world, I don't like to talk about them. At the same time, usually my first world nightmares have a lot of comedy to them. Not mine. They don't make me laugh, but they can make other people laugh. They don't make me laugh because they are happening to me.
Right. Nightmares generally don't make the people having the nightmares laugh.
Yes. So I do have a recent one and it happened just the other day. So you guys know, like, downsized the New York City pad in a new place. And I'm kind of slowly but surely trying to update it. Okay. Which is, you know, trust me when I say it needs it. So one of the updates was I wanted to replace, it had one of those, you know, those old kind of old fashioned washer dryers that are stackable, but they're one piece, like they're connected to each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So they're top loading, and they have one of those old things that kind of, it's a big thing that sticks out of the center and it swishes things around it, which is really not great for your clothes, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it had one of those, and I think the thing was, had to be pushing 20 years old. Okay, fine. So there's a sale, stackable washers and dryers. I get a really, really good price on it. Great. The delivery was delayed a little bit. It finally shows up the other day. Fantastic. And of course I paid for the delivery and the haul away. That's typical when you buy a washer dryer. All right.
And it doesn't
fit. Now that would be an obvious problem. And the answer to that is it fits beautifully.
Okay. It fits beautifully.
Okay. So the first thing that happens that when I could tell that this was going to turn into a nightmare is the delivery people come in. Now, I'm not endorsing anything, but the washer dryer I bought is made by Samsung. And in order to stack them, you also need a stacking kit, but they didn't have any stacking kit. So I had to go to a different place and buy the stacking kit, but it's a Samsung stack. So guy walks in, he's like, oh, you're going to stack these? Now he's staring at the closet where you can only stack them. There's not enough room to have them side by side. And he's like, well, you didn't buy a stacking kit. And I said, au contraire, mon frere, I sure did. I just didn't buy it from Samsung because you guys were back ordered. Here's my Samsung stacking kit. Still in the box, Samsung stacking kit right on the thing. He starts giving me a hard time that if he uses that stacking kit, that if something goes wrong, it's going to cost him money out of his pocket. I said, listen, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm a lawyer. I'll sign a waiver. Stack the mofos. Just stack the mofos with my Samsung stacking kit. We'll be all right. It's going to be fine. So, okay. So I get him past that. So the next thing I know, they pull out the old workhorse washer dryer that's attached. They pull that out. They wheel that out and that goes away and they take the new ones and they wheel them in. Now they put them in, they put the stacking kit. They're getting ready to connect them. They're getting ready to hook them all up. And the guy comes around the corner and he says to me, we got a problem. I say, we got a problem? What's the problem? He said, there is no electrical outlet in here to plug in the washing machine. There is only an electrical outlet to plug in the dryer. So now I look at him and I say, we are way past April 1st, buddy. I know you got to be kidding because this thing had electric. I've used the washer and dryer. That's not possible in 2022. Right. He says, well, your other unit that I just pulled out of here only needed one plug because it was together and they both worked off the one plug, and the one plug was the 220 for the dryer.
No. Oh, you know what, John? Right. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but this genuinely qualifies as a nightmare.
Thank you. I'm going to give you this one. I'm giving it to you.
You're not being overly dramatic.
So, and I'm not even done. So now I say, because I am who I am and I am who I am. Who used to say that? Popeye? I am.
Popeye.
I think Popeye, it was Popeye, but you are Annie from Bridesmaids or John Escobar. I'm not sure.
So I say to him, okay, well, this is the worst news you could possibly give me. I said, so here's what we're going to do. At the risk of you getting upset, I need you to pull these back out, take my old one, put it back in. I'm going to send these back to Samsung. I'll have to take care of the electrical outlet issue, and then I'll purchase it another time. That's what I say to him.
Okay.
So then guess what he says to me?
Well, guess. That he can't do that.
He says, funny thing. I know we pulled that old one out in one piece, but when we got down to my truck, the back completely fell off. And now it's totally, totally trash. And it's impossible for me to bring that back up, which was probably a lie. But what was I going to do? Go down and look and investigate? Like, what was I going to do?
Jonna, is the plug that's there a standard plug, like a three-prong plug?
No, so it's a 220. So he goes, but don't worry, ma'am. Here's what we'll do. Give me an extension cord and we'll plug in your washer so that when you need to wash clothes, at least for now, you can use the extension cord. You can plug it in a regular outlet outside of this closet and you'll be good to go. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay, well, you know what? And I'll just install a clothesline and hang my underwear out on it, because that's what people in 2022 do, just extension cords and clotheslines and put their, like, it was just aggravating me. So I get the extension cord because that's the only way that I can fix it until an electrician can get here. And then he says to me, oh, one more thing. Okay, what now? And he's like, the hose that connects, that it has to go into this drain here so that when you wash clothes and the water drains out, it goes into the hose and into the piping, is too short. And I cannot connect the hose to the drain.
So oh, now my I say,
you're telling me that as a washer dryer installer, you don't have a variety of hoses somewhere in your arsenal where you could switch this one out, put an extension on, do what you're being paid to do, which is install my washer dryer, because I did pay extra for that. And his response was no. So now what? I have a beautiful new stackable washer and dryer in this closet. The dryer works great. The washer doesn't work for crap.
Have you tried hand washing your stuff in the sink?
What do I look like? Laura Ingalls?
I'm just checking.
To the grocery store. You think she's going to handle Jonna, well, you know what? You buy enough new clothes with your Stitch Fix and that where you really shouldn't have to wear anything twice. So, you know, there's that. I think you're fine.
Oh, I like the way you think.
And I'm sure there's got to be a laundromat somewhere within a couple of blocks. It's very safe in New York City.
And I know you. Oh. You're very good at manifesting the things that you want. So I know you know the secret to do that.
You know what? Last week, I didn't think that you could have a better Sagu, and you just topped yourself. You just topped yourself. All right.
That's what I do.
yes, it is. All right. Well, then on that note, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to have a fantastic time with the guest that is coming up after our break. She is, among other things, an entrepreneur, a life coach, and she's written a couple of books, but her most recent one is actually a game changer. I'm in the middle of it myself. It's called Eight Secrets to Powerful Manifesting. How to Create the Reality of Your Dreams. I am loving this book. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with its author, Mandy Morris, after the break.
All right, that sounds good. I am going to pull my underwear and socks off the extension cord because they're dry now, and we will be back with segment number two.
Good.
And we will be talking to Mandy Morris.
These are
please.
Clean.
I washed them in the sink. Thank you.
Are they superhero, Frank and Mary?
They are superhero. There's one Batman, there's one Spider-Man. And I used a washboard, and I sang along with it while I was washing. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to Mandy Morris on the way next, so please stick around. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci, and we'll be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour again here with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And we have segment number two now, and we are going to be talking to Mandy Morris, and we are going to be getting inspired, correct?
Oh, correct. Boy, are we. We're going to be getting inspired. So let me tell you a little bit about Mandy before we chat. Mandy Morris is an entrepreneur, life coach, manifestation expert. And I'm going to definitely put an exclamation point after that. And author of the just released book, as I mentioned, 8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting, How to Create the Reality of Your Dreams. Mandy's science and love-based methods for creating instant and lasting change have been studied, taught, and used all over the world by therapists and coaches. And I got to tell you guys, I'm in the middle of the book. And a lot of these principles and premises really, really resonate. And if you are in a position where you're not exactly where you want to be, or maybe you're in a slump, or maybe you're not in a slump, but you just want more and you're not quite sure, like especially now as we're coming out of this pandemic and things seem a little bit different, how we can get motivated to be, do, and have everything we want. This is a fantastic read. Mandy Morris, welcome to Happy Hour.
Thank you so much for having me, y'all. I'm so excited for this conversation.
No, and you know what? And we are too. And I feel like I know you because I'm actually listening to the book, which you you narrated. So it's, I feel like we've been having conversations every day for the last week. So thank you for that. Now, I did want to begin because a lot of times, you know, look, this is a motivational and inspirational book on obviously on how to manifest and create the reality of your dreams. Who doesn't want that? But we find, Carol and I have both, Carol's written and read, and I've read a lot of similar books where it seems the people with the most knowledge often started out in a, you know, and not a great place. And from that not great place, all of these fantastic ideas and words were born. And you kind of have a similar story, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. My childhood and my adolescence and then my chosen young adult years were really dysfunctional.
And I mean, and you talk about that, you kind of that's sort of the introduction to your book. And I love that because it makes, I mean, you're very relatable there. You know, a few people are born in this world where everything is perfect and there's the silver spoon, right? So when you can walk the walk, it really lends credibility to your story. And isn't that how you decided like one day, hey, this is not enough for me?
Yeah. I mean, I had sat there, you know, coming from really birth. We were homeless when I was born. Thankfully not on the streets, but my father wasn't around very much. He, as I share in the book, was an addict and called me during a suicide attempt when I was 13. And it just caused me to shut off my light, you know, trauma after trauma and just about in every walk of life, unfortunately, and very fortunately now I've experienced so many traumatic events that I can help people with them. I understand why we don't manifest what we want. I understand why humans are in so much pain. And unfortunately, when we go back into, when I look at, you know, my life, which I see from completely different lenses now that I am clear-headed and I've healed those parts. But it was, like I said, it was highly dysfunctional. I was very used to chaos and abuse. And it was actually this moment where I was with an abusive boyfriend and he threw glass at my face. And that for some reason, although I had experienced plenty of dysfunctional moments prior to that, that for some reason was my basement. And I just, all of a sudden, it was like the same moment of complete what in the hell is going on and the veil of what I was choosing and realizing, okay, no judgment, no shame, but we got to shift. Like it felt like this moment where I was either going to fully shut off my light and go through life as I was, or I had a moment and it was literally a split second decision to say, I'm completely turning my life around. I have no idea how, but I'm not doing this anymore and I will change for the world.
I think it's important, you know, that you make that decision and you say, I don't know how. Because what I personally, I feel what stops a lot of people, that, you know, maybe you don't have to have a glass in the face moment. Maybe you can wake up one day and just say, I'm uncomfortable or I want more. I don't, this is not enough. This is not where I want to remain. So whatever prompts you to do that. But yes. I think what scares people away from continuing, like instead of just making that statement, what scares them is they don't know how. And part of what you teach in this book is, you can really do, I don't want to minimize it, but you can start really small by turning your own ship around.
Yes.
And so what do you think is the first number one thing you can do when you have that moment, you have your basement, your glass in the face moment, your revelation, what is the first thing that somebody can do?
Probably the hardest part, but the most important piece is that, and you're usually there if you're at your basement, you know, we tend to live between our ceiling and our basement. And clearly my basement was very low. It's changed now. My basement is higher than any ceiling that I used to have. But at the time I noticed that there were steps prior to that where I was jumping down into my rock bottom that I could have, and I should have, and I teach people now to make a decision from that point. But the biggest piece in that split second is surrender. And that's a huge, huge piece to manifestation is, can I trust the new reality enough to surrender to what is to come without knowing every piece and meeting my human need of certainty? Instead, I'm choosing to live, you know, my soul story instead of my human story. So surrender all the way.
By surrender, do you mean just acknowledge that you just don't know, or acknowledge what do you exactly mean by surrender?
So Albert Einstein said, you can't solve a problem with the same, you know, mentality or mindset that got you into it. And I think that's so unbelievably true. And sometimes because of the way we are wired, especially if we do have any type of trauma or even cultural or religious or whatever it is, programming from our past, we work in constructs where we want to see how things are going to work out, or everything has to fit into a box. And unfortunately, if we don't have the life that we want, or we've never had the life that we're trying to move towards, we don't have the steps yet. We don't have the, I call it, you know, literally the reality, the vibrational reality. We don't know what that feels like yet. And so us just saying, I'm willing to take this a breadcrumb at a time, because the universe and it really our own superconscious speaks in breadcrumbs. It's one piece at a time that feels light and feels right, so that it brings us back into the now instead of what our mind tends to do, which is live in the past or the future. And so when you're in that now space, which is a form of surrender, really, is I'm willing to take things for what it truly is in this moment, instead of all of the previous perceptions I have around what life is or what it's supposed to be. And I do not know exactly how I'm going to get into this new version of me because I haven't met it yet, but I am willing to know that I don't know and just take it a step at a time.
Mandy, this is Carol. I love that so much. And I feel like when some people hear the word surrender, they meet the sense that means giving up. And right. To me, that's not it at all. You're moving yourself to a different energy, to a different place. Okay. Byron Katie, she said, when you argue with reality, you lose 100% of the time. And there's a sense of, and it's so true, right? We create, I think some of us are addicted to like resistance and drama sometimes, that we fight against the reality. And surrender to me means, okay, this is what it is at this moment. So how can I take the next step without fighting against the reality of what is? To me, that's that is kind of what surrender is, not giving up. Absolutely. It's moving forward with grace.
Yeah, it's pure potential. You're in a state of neutrality. Instead of seeing it more, you know, positively or more negatively than it is, you're just seeing it as it actually is, which is something that so few of us do on a day-to-day basis, especially in those really important moments where we're in high stress or we want to make a big decision. We're usually looking for proof or, you know, information that is around us, but it comes from our past. It comes from what didn't work. And so, yeah, surrender is just stepping into a space of everything is possible in this moment. And if I open myself to that, I come to it with a sense of neutrality where I can create whatever it is that I'd like from here moving forward.
I can't even begin to tell you how much goodness in the form of experiences and internal states of feeling for myself and circumstances have come from, I don't know, maybe I just was so low I was forced into it, from allowing my life to unfold more than dictating it and controlling it and planning it, to just be open to letting it unfold. And it's like, wow, this is so much easier.
Yes. And it's fun. Then you take the fun back into life because, gosh, I remember I lived my whole life with certainty. You know, unfortunately, I was raised by, you know, addicts and alcoholics and so forth in many moments of my life. And so I searched for certainty and control everywhere I'd look. But if I had sat there, you know, that time ago when that glass hit my, you know, whizzed past my face, and if I had said, okay, I'm going to need to know exactly how this is going to look, or if I had tried to control it, I would have never been sitting here today with the incredible amount of abundance and happiness and fulfillment I have, because I literally couldn't conceptualize it.
Wow. And I think a lot of people too, they have trouble conceptualizing. And one of the things that that's really resonating with me is the fact that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, and you just mentioned it, a lot of our stuff, a lot of the stuff that comes up that prevents us from doing what we want to do is based on things that happen to us that sometimes, like you remember the glass whizzing past your face. Maybe you suffered some sort of trauma that you don't really recognize as trauma when you look back. But if you examine it, it might be, or at least, you know, things, patterns that you created or had when you were a child that really can, for lack of a better word, F you up as an adult. Yeah. At least that's how I'm interpreting it. Am I on the same page?
100%. So if we go into like the neuroscience, the very basic neuroscience of recreating our life or manifestation, if you talk about, you know, in the past, while I was rejected one time on the playground, maybe that wouldn't be deemed a trauma, and everyone's different. An energetic stamp impacts us differently. The flood of emotions impact us differently and therefore create what is registered as a trauma. But let's say that you get that rejection on the playground, but then 2 weeks later, you know, your father looks at you funny. And then 5 months later, you have to switch classes because you're getting in fights at school or whatever it is. All these little things, seemingly small, compile into a whole neurological wiring. And so we could call it one trauma, or we could call it, I call it a stretched out experience, where we're still wired similarly to as impactful as a trauma would wire us, but it can happen over time as well, especially as children.
So I like one of the first, in fact, the first quote secret that you talk about, and I thought that this was really helpful too, is create energetic check-in. So you basically described that when something's going on with you, like you just mentioned, there's something that's bubbling up, bless whoever sneezed, something's bubbling up. Like the first thing you can do is say, why is this bubbling up? And you kind of can walk yourself through a series of questions to get to the bottom of that. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So something that I've noticed a lot when it comes to personal growth, and I did this myself, so I walked this walk, I would immediately judge myself. I'd be like, oh, well, I should have done more today, or I should have grown further, or I should be able to work through this. I should be over this by now. This should be healed, or whatever it was. And it kept me in a really low mental state or a low vibration. And in my early 20s, something that I don't mention very much in the book, actually, is that I would find myself in a lot of different rooms with highly intelligent people, NASA scientists, different doctors, people who are doing incredible things behind the scenes for humanity. And so it really distilled a very scientific part of me of why are things the way they are. And I would notice that they would see things so objectively. There was no emotion to finding solutions for humanity, even if things were going terribly wrong in the world. It was just, all right, like put on our big girl pants and make this happen. And so I took that, what I saw in these incredible, quiet world leaders who are helping humanity in many ways. And I was like, we should be able to do that for ourselves. Each singular human in our issues that are causing these planetary issues, because it really does start with us. And so it's kind of seen it from a more scientific perspective is what I would call it, or see yourself as a science experiment. And so these energetic check-ins, the first secret in the book, is all about what am I feeling? And we're not disassociating from the emotion, but we're distancing ourselves to where we can see this isn't even who I am anyways. This is a triggering of my past or a perception, or I'm telling myself something that isn't serving me. And so I'm going to shift it. But when we remove or pull some of that emotion and that meaning and that shame or that guilt or frustration from it, it shifts so quickly and it becomes just feedback. We're not emotional, but we're curious. So I love the energetic check-ins because if we're doing it right, of course, and we're not judging ourselves by what we find an incredible amount of information that's happening underneath the surface in us. And it allows for us to shift that much more quickly because we're not dousing it with emotion, which tends to, you know, drag everything down.
I imagine that might take a little bit of practice to master, but what I love about it is you can do it wherever you are. You don't need to call a therapist. You can just sit. And yes, you do this check-in basically on yourself. And I think one time, or you talk about doing a together with your husband. Yes. And I love that. I mean, that's the quintessential self-help.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, of course, absolutely. That's what I loved about it was how can I tell all of my practitioners this, how can you work yourself out of a job? Give them so many tools that eventually they can do it themselves and the universe will always reward you. It'll work out just fine. But that was always my MO was, you know, no one should be sitting in a therapy chair for 30 years. And I've proven that over and over again with the folks that I've worked with, including myself, something can literally rewire itself within a few hours.
That's amazing.
And that's like the whole premise of the neuroplasticity, right? Like it shouldn't, we can change kind of on a dime, for lack of a better word, once you know the technique.
Yes, I've had so many folks who will come to me. And I remember this was actually something that led me down the road of neuroscience when I had a family member who was an alcoholic. And I was 12 years old and I said, please go to AA. I'll go to AA with you. I want you to be who you really are. The authentic self, I talk about it all the time. It has followed me my whole life. And I said, I just want to like know the real you. And this person said, Mandy, I'm 40. I think they were maybe 42 or something. I'm 42 years old. I'm never going to change. This is who I am. And I remember thinking, bull. Sorry for cursing. Like, there's got to be another way. So anyways, it led me down, you know, this road of, and then once I understood neuroplasticity, high level neuroscience, and by no means a scientist in any realm other than the things that I randomly study. And I sat there like, nope, the brain can, yes, absolutely. After age 25, it's a little bit slower sometimes for us, but we can all rewire our brains in totality. And when we rewire the neurological pathways, the way that electricity is shooting, we're literally changing how we are communicating with our environment and the energy in which we are sending outwardly into this proverbial universe. And my goodness, does life change quickly. But I had seen it clinically. I worked on psychosomatic illnesses, getting to the root of incredible health problems. And we would watch, because we had these folks hooked up to different neurofeedback and biofeedback, and we would watch them completely change neurological pathways, thought patterns would probably be a more appropriate way to say it, within a few hours of working with me.
Mandy, this is such powerful stuff. It's really, you're reiterating so much of what I have learned through my own self-exploration and my own healing and really examining myself. For starters, I kind of wish that the self-improvement industry weren't called the self-improvement industry if it was the self-healing industry. Because I think when we feel less than or think that we don't measure up, I far more believe that it's something that needs to be healed rather than fixed or made better, that we all carry these things with us. And I think additionally, another issue with the, you know, the positive thinking movement is wonderful in many ways, but it causes us to judge when we feel negatively, which gives more power to it. And so we're afraid to feel, we're afraid to feel any negative emotion, when if we go in with a sense of faith and courage and curiosity rather than judgment, we can get to the root of what's going on. Amen. And really figure out how to show up as our whole selves.
Yes. And for anyone listening, just, you know, I would never say any names, but I work with just about every person who's in the self-development world. They come to me. I thought that folks who teach self-development should be in alignment, and many, many are. And also all of them also have issues. Anybody, we're all working on ourselves in many ways. I'm just a little bit more authentic, I think, about it, or open about it, because I got to lay it out to be able to sort it. But it's really unfortunate sometimes we put people on pedestals thinking, oh, well, they've got it all figured out, or they're...
No, they don't.
No, not even close. Oh my goodness, not even close.
No, and we're always evolving. And I love that. And I, you know, and step one is no judgment, like you just said. And I know we have to, there's a million more things that we could talk about, but I am going to encourage everyone within the sound of our voice to pick up a copy of Mandy's book, because it's just so simple. Like, you can do this. If you're listening, you can do this. It's called 8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting, How to Create the Reality of Your Dreams. Who doesn't want to do that?
Yes, right.
Pick up the book. And Mandy, you do a lot of stuff. Like, you do a lot of coaching. You do much many more things than being the fantastic author that you are. So when people want to connect with you, what is the best way? Should they Instagram, website? What's the best way for people to find you and learn more about you?
Well, Facebook, I have so much free content on there, and that's a great place for someone to just see if they resonate with me, and they can find me, Mandy Morris, just search it. YouTube, the same thing, and then Instagram and TikTok at Manifest with Mandy.
Manifest with Mandy. I love that. Mandy Morris, thank you so very much for this. Like I said, we would love to have you back, because we're really not done. I mean, there's so much more we could talk about here. So if in the future, we would love to have you come back.
Oh my gosh, I would love that so much. Thank you guys for having me.
All right.
Thank you, Mandy.
Yep. Thank you very much, Mandy. And I want to let you know, Mandy, by the way, that I completely agree. We are, all of us, a constant work in progress. None of us are perfect. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell people to get me off that pedestal they've got me on. I mean, seriously, it becomes so difficult and annoying to have to constantly explain, hey, I'm not perfect.
It's so exhausting, right?
I know. It really is. All right. You've got Happy Hour with Jonna Spillborn and Carol Pesci. Thank you so much again to Mandy Morris for joining us this morning. And we're not quite done yet. So segment number 3 is on the way. Stick around.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And we are back one more time here with Happy Hour and Jonna Spillborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
Very right on the money.
There you go. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Show me the money.
That's right. I'm rubbing my fingers together. There you go. All right. So Mandy Morris, thank you so much for her to her for joining us this morning.
Yeah, I got to get her book. Yeah. That sounds really, really good.
You got to get the book. I'm halfway through it. I just love when you can really take away some stuff here that is incredibly helpful. It's not hard. You just got to, it's not hard. And you can start right where you are, which is the best way to start, right? Start right where you are.
And I love when people like her who have learned so much and are willing to, you know, step up and share what they've learned, share their real story, right? The crap that's in their closet, the stuff that they've gone through, because, you know, God, we live in such a world where everything's so filtered and when we're judging ourselves on something that's not even real and wondering what we're doing wrong, when the fact is we're doing a lot right and we're all human and we all got stuff and we're all going through stuff and have gone through stuff. And when people like her show up and share her real story and her real struggles, it's encouraging because it's like she figured a lot out and so can anybody else.
Right. But, you know, and you did something similar in your books, you know, and like, your very first one where you had to reveal something very painful. Like, I think to me that just gives credibility to the people and it makes it even more inspiring. And speaking of inspiring, so you guys know Mama Nance, my mother.
Love Mama Nance.
Yes, me too. I like her. Pretty good.
And after all these years, I've decided that I like her.
So Mama Nance has been struggling with some sort of like back and leg and foot pain for a while. Now, one thing I can say about Mama Nance, and she did pass this down to me, like sometimes if we have a physical pain, we don't like to be babies about it. You know, so we might just kind of suck it up. But then, you know, if you've ever had any sort of chronic pain or pain for a while, you know that it can actually affect your mood and change your personality.
Oh, my gosh. That's been my experience,
you know?
Yes.
And she got to that point and, you know, to her credit, she's like, she's been to doctor after doctor after doctor, cortisone shot, this, that, the other thing. Nobody's really been able to help her and it was getting worse. So she finally woke up when, speaking of just starting where you are, she woke up and she's like, I don't give a crap what I got to do, who I got to call, where I got to go. I'm fixing this. Anyway, long story short, and this is why I'm going to give this shameless plug. She's happened upon a pain management chiropractor. I have no experience with chiropractors. The one time, my one experience with a quote chiropractor wasn't a chiropractor. It was a guy who worked at the Sunoco station who said that he could... He said that he could crack my back for me and he made me cross my arms and he like picked me up from behind and sure enough, like down my spine. And I was like, wow, this felt great until the next day when it felt awful. So anyway, my one. Yeah, I know, but that was years ago. So she found this chiropractor and his name is Dr. Michael Fernandez. I'm giving him a big shout out. He runs the Fishkill Spine Decompression Center. Now, what she does there is she goes and she gets her spine. She gets her spine stretched because part of her issue turns out she had these discs that were compacted or I forget what you call them.
Compressed.
So she goes there, compress. Yeah, she goes there and they stretch her out with these machines. And like, there's a lot of people with sports injuries, people. And for the first time, you guys, in years, she actually has relief and I'm like getting my mother back.
Wow. Yeah. So
I am. And you know, and that's no surgery, no nothing. So she suffered for a long time. So I want to say a big shout out to Dr. Michael Fernandez, who I have not met, but I appreciate all the work he's doing for my mother and he must be doing good work for other people. Cause there's always a lot of people there, all ages, all everything with, you know, different conditions. And he must be helping a lot of them. So thank you, Dr. Michael Fernandez of the Fishkill Spine.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's I'm fantastic. Sure meatballs are in his future at some point because she's very grateful.
And there you go. And you got to give congrats for being able to adapt like a medieval torture machine into something that works for people now.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That's great. That's great.
Exactly.
And like you said, it's going to earn meatballs.
Yep. Worth it just for that.
Exactly. Exactly. You can tell your mom, by the way, I like meatballs.
All right, well, she makes them amazing. Break. You grab her legs, I'll grab her armpits, we'll stretch her out ourselves.
and there you go. I'll bring the Tupperware.
Okay, you got it.
And just so I don't have to wash it and return it, you know what I'm saying? All right. Well, I'm glad. Yes, I'm so glad your mom is feeling better. So way to go there, Mom. Way to go there, Mom and Nance. All right. Well, for Jonas Spilbore and for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry. Thank you so much again for joining us this morning. And we do appreciate Mandy Morris joining us as well. So tune in again next week because we've got another happy hour coming your way. Same time right here. We'll talk to you then. Have a good week.
Happy Easter.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. To my family. Right. Sorry. I'm not there.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.